You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Alex Dunn, Tom Morley and Chris Pimlott in the studio. We have Jumps Racing from Doncaster and Ludlow, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Poly Track at Lingfield. There's also All Weather action in the evening as well at Kempton Park. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Andrew Mounds. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, hello, Mark. Well, I was good until I heard the terrible news about Thistlecrack.
Yeah, we'll start with the breaking news, as we call this big news on Tuesday, that Thistlecrack has been ruled out of the Cheltenham Gold Cup. He's got a slight tendon injury, which not only rules him out of the Gold Cup, rules him out for the rest of the season as well. And obviously that's led to a big shake-up in the market for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Native River 5-2, 3-1 now Q Card. Jack Adam is 5-1. It's 8-1 Outlander and Sizing John, 14-1 Champagne West, 16-1 Don Polly and Vroom Vroom Mag, and it's 20-1 bar those. We'll move on to the market and the race as it stands now in just a moment or two, but it is sad news to hear that Thistlecrack won't be seen in action this year, because he was one of the star attractions of this year's festival.
That's right, and regardless of whether you thought he was going to win or not, it was it's really, really sad to see a horse like that, of that quality, of that calibre, with all those unanswered questions about his stamina over the extra yardage of the Gold Cup trip, that we're not going to get the chance now to see these answered on Gold Cup Day on the 17th of March.
Mm. In saying that, Colin Tizard still has a very good chance of winning the race. Native River has gone favourite now. Q Card 3-1. Behind Native River is 5-2. Is he still going to win the race, do you think?
I think so. I think he'll grind it out from the front, and I can imagine Q Card travelling well in behind him. And Native River pulling away and staying on Dowley up the hill. It's just a shame that there's not going to be Thistlecrack and Q Card cruising in behind him as he comes around that final bend.
Yeah, so you think Native River wins then?
I think Native River probably wins. At a bigger price, I was half interested in Smad Place. He was only a 17-length third behind Many Clouds and Thistlecrack on Trials Day last time. But yeah, that was still a decent effort. And looking at race form speed figures, that still gives him the best last time out figure for the Gold Cup.
Really?
And he's a big price. I think he's run about 40-1 with those.
Yeah.
And also recently I've been looking at Alan King's stats with chasers in a first-time visor, 6 winners from 13 starts. He had a winner at Sandown last Friday in this headgear, Willoughby Hedge. And he's got another one running later on today at Taunton. That's on Tuesday. That's Handsome Sam. I just wondered if he might opt for headgear for Smad Place. And, he might get taken on for the lead by Native River. But if he gets in a good rhythm at the head of affairs, then Smad Place could go well at a good price.
That would make the race quite interesting, wouldn't it, really? Because we saw Smad Place at his best when front-running at in the Hennessy a few years ago. If there's him and Native River both trying to go out there in front, that'd be quite a battle on its own, wouldn't it?
That's right, and you only have to go back a little over a year to see Smad Place slam Many Clouds by 12 lengths on Trials Day. So if he can bounce back to that sort of form, then 40-1 is going to look a massive price.
Mm. Don't worry if you back Thistlecrack, by the way. I will just mention the non-runner insurance that we have here at William Hill. If you backed Thistlecrack for the Gold Cup after the 27th of January, then you do get your money back. Terms and conditions are available on the William Hill website and on the William Hill app, but non-runner insurance means you do get your money back on Thistlecrack there. Aside from that, just want to mention Bristol Demai as well. His Gold Cup bid is back on, apparently. He was disappointing last time, of course, but they've pinpointed an early race injury. Do you think he can get involved? Because he was 10-1 before the race, before his last race, drifted out to 20s on the back of that disappointing performance. But, if he hadn't run that race, he'd still be banging the mix at the front end of the market, wouldn't he?
That's right. But I do worry about his jumping, though, around Cheltenham. And, he made mistakes in that three-runner race behind Native River at Newbury. Okay, he'd won at Haydock jumping well the time before, but that was over the portable fences, which are a lot easier to jump than the old park fences at Haydock. And, he's just, he's lost his chance a few times with some sloppy leaps. So we could get quite a big field now for the Gold Cup with Thistlecrack out. I think quite a lot of trainers are going to fancy their chances of picking up some prize money. And in a double-digit sized field, I think Bristol Demise jumping will always worry me.
Okay. So Tony and Native River then in the Gold Cup at this point. Bit of news elsewhere on the flat, in fact. Before we get back into the jumps action in a moment or two, we're going to look ahead to the Betbright Chase that's coming up at the weekend. News for the Irish Derby. The Curragh are having a redevelopment and they've therefore capped their attendance to 6,000 for the Irish Derby, which has caused one or two trainers to speak out, one or two people not happy with the decision. And when you consider 18,000 people turned up for Irish Derby Day last year, it's going to be, 6,000 is going to be disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. There's not going to be the same atmosphere and there's going to be a lot of disappointed racegoers who can't attend. It's a tricky one, though, because, you're talking about not just the Irish Derby, but the classics as well earlier on in the season, the Irish 1,000 and 2,000 guineas and switching those from the straight or dogleg Curragh track to left-handed Leopardstown, which is the obvious alternative, changes the complexion of the race completely. So, it's very tricky, really. I'll agree with the decision to keep it at the Curragh and, keep them on the same tracks. Like, can you imagine the Epsom Derby being run somewhere else? It just wouldn't be the same, would it?
No. It's that tricky line, isn't it, where the track credentials, the history of the race and what would be best for one particular day... They're not all going to marry up, are they?
So. No, that's right. Someone's going to be disappointed somewhere along the line.
Yeah, and I think it is right to keep the track the same, so the credentials of the race are the same, rather than having a few more people in.
That's right. It's like, imagine the FA Cup final. We can have it at Wembley, but we can only have 50,000 people instead of 80 or 90,000, whatever it is now. Or we can move it to Old Trafford and have 70. You'd think for those fans of those teams, Wembley would be the most important aspect of that.
Mm. Going back to the jumps theme now, then that was just a little bit of news to mention along the way. Big racing coming up this weekend. The Betbright Chase is one of the big races. Betting out on site as well. T4/2, 6/1 at the top of the market at the moment. Double Shuffle 7/1 with Irish Saints. 8/1 Tenor Niverney. Three Musketeers 9/1, 10/1 Theatre Guide and Viva Steve 12/1 Finger on the Switch with Rock Dap C and Yala Enki. It's 14/1. Bar those. You actually offered to offer an opinion here. I wasn't going to ask you to look at this, so you must have quite a strong view.
Well, I love this race, and it does tend to go to course experts. Over the years, Kempton form's been very important, as has an ability to lie relatively close to the pace, and the obvious one is the current favourite and top weight T4/2. And he's got a strong preference for right-handed tracks, 8 wins from 13 this way around, including a 17-length win at Exeter last time out to get back to winning ways. And you look at his Kempton form, he's had 4 runs here, 3 wins, and a 4th in the King George behind Thistlecrack, only going down by 3.5 lengths and just missing out on 2nd place when 25/1. So loves the track. Back down in grade, since his last Kempton visit, I think he's going to go very well at around about the 6/1 mark.
Yeah, got a good record at Kempton, of course. And as you mentioned there, 6/1 at the top of the market at this point. For the Betbright Handicap Chase comes up on Saturday. We'll obviously move on to that in due course, but let's concentrate on matters close to hand. We've got some good racing coming up this Wednesday. We'll get Andrew's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Wednesday's action. We're going to look at 3 races on the domestic front, but before we get to that, there's a good race over in Punchestown we want to just have a quick look at as well. The 225, which is the Quivega Mares Hurdle, a listed race over 2.5 miles. We've got two real nice mares in there that are probably going to be priced up as a little bit of a match. Apples Jade and Limini, who are both incredibly exciting mares. Race named after a real legendary mare as well in the shape of Quivega, so... It was worth talking about. What do you make of it? Is it Apples Jade against Limini here?
No, I don't think so. I think it's deeper than that. But this is a fantastic race. You'd be happy with this at the Cheltenham Festival, wouldn't you? Even with only the 6 runners. And say, obviously, Apples Jade, ex-Willie Mullins, joined Gordon Elliott this season. Was a little disappointing on debut when only 2nd to Rashan at Down Royal back in November, when 2-1 on favourite. Found Irving and those two good in the fighting 5th at Newcastle next time, and then stepped up to 2.5 and a grade 1 at Fairy House, got the better of Vroom Vroom Mag by a short head. That was her first run beyond 2 miles, 1 furlong. And, you know, there's potential for further improvement over this trip. But you're talking about a grade one animal running in a listed race just before the Cheltenham Festival. So this, to me, smacks of a prep race.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there was a, Nick Morden used to quote an American professional gambler who used to say, if you see a genuine grade one or group one horse running in anything other than a grade one or group one race, you'd expect them to run well without winning. Because it's often a prep race for other things. Like you see these Aidan O'Brien ones that, you know, first time out, you know, they finish second or third in listed company because they've got big targets in the autumn, yeah. You know, like the Ark and the Breeders' Cup. And I think that could well be the case here with Apple's Jade and even Limonie as well, who, of course, has sort of tasted defeat on her last two starts at Punchestown in April and at Aintree the time before. So, you know, I just wonder whether, you know, Limonie is that good. She still hasn't, you know, sort of won in grade one company. She obviously won that, you know, sort of the Dawn Run Mares Novices Hurdle, the new race for mares at Cheltenham last year. But, you know, there weren't exactly a lot of world beaters in that race. So, you know, I think the pair of these could be vulnerable and we should perhaps be thinking a little more creatively and trying to find something at a bigger price.
So which one?
Couple on my shortlist. Rock on the Moor was beaten out of sight last time out at Warwick, but trying to come from off the pace at that venue is very difficult. And her only two other hurdle runs below grade three company have seen her win, including here at Punchestown. And the other one is Whiteout, a stablemate of Limonie, who of course beat that one at the Punchestown Festival last season by almost 5 lengths, no less, when a 16-1 shot. I think since then she's been running in grade one company and at O'Toy, Fairyhouse and Leopardstown. Didn't run badly over the Christmas period behind Vroom Vroom Mag. And you know, if she goes from the front and makes this a test of stamina, then she you know could find out you know one or two of these. So and of course she's got a great record at the track. She's had 3 runs at Punchestown previously. She's won them all. So yeah, Whiteout and Rock on the Moor would be my shortlist against the two likely market leaders.
Okay, thinking away from the star names then in that race at Punchestown. Onto the domestic action next, and we start in the 3:45 at Doncaster, a veterans handicap chase, a Class 2 event over almost 3 miles. Field of 8 to go to post here. I think every time I look ahead to one of these races, I mention how much I like the veterans handicap chases. And again, we've got some old favourites in here.
That's right, and we should first of all mention the lack of recent form here. We've got 8 runners. 4 of them fell or pulled up last time out, and the others finished 4th, 6th, 7th and 8th. And what you often find in these races, they've been contesting much better contests against younger horses, you know, not cutting much ice, and they'll bounce back in these. I also like to side with the younger veterans. 10 is the youngest age of horse allowed to run in these races, and I think we've got 4 10-year-olds here out of the 8, and those are the ones I'm looking towards. The obvious one of interest to start with is Sam and Gary for Nigel Hawke, as the Devon-based trainer is in incredibly good form at the moment. He's won with his last 3 runners, 7-1, 6-1, 11-2, and he's also had a 5-2 shot score recently as well. So the stable is absolutely on fire. This one wearing a tongue-tie and blinkers combination for the first time, and I can imagine will improve on previous efforts this season, not seen since pulling up at Cheltenham on New Year's Day on soft ground. Will be much happier on this quicker surface, and you know, does tend to come good, you know, round about this time of year. Has won 3 from 4 times in April, so we might be a few weeks away from his best time of year. But with his trainer in such good form, expect him to leave recent efforts well behind. The other interesting one's another 10-year-old, and that's Killala Key for another informed trainer, Charlie Longston. This one's pulled up in his 3 starts this season, but he's not been seen since early December. He goes well fresh on decent ground, and he's a front runner as well, a running style that's often seen to good effect at Doncaster over fences. And you look at his form last season, he was disappointing in his in a couple of starts in November, December, and then bounced back on the 27th of February to win a Grade 2 at Kempton from 12 Roses. So again, another one who should improve for the better ground and a break since a disappointing effort.
Okay, final selection there?
I'm going to go for Killala Key, probably because he'll be a bigger price than Sam and Gary.
Killala Key then just gets the vote then in the 3:45 at Doncaster. Moving on to Ludlow next for their 4:10, and this is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. Just short of 2 miles is the trip for this one. We've got a field of 14 of them set to go to post. You've got some relatively lightly raced runners in there, the likes of I'm a Game Changer and Dino Velvet. Should we be concentrating on those type of runners here?
Yes, indeed. Well, one that really interests me is Canadian Diamond for Richard Rowe. Now, if you backtrack to 2014, Canadian Diamond ran in this very race for a previous yard, running off a mark of 125 and finished second to Baltimore Rock. And at the time was trained by Brendan Powell. And then despite the fact that he arrives here on the back of three flat wins, he's running off a £5 lower mark off 120. So given the form that Canadian Diamond's in, I think he's the way to go here. I was impressed by his last time out Kempton win because he'd won at Southall the time before on the Fibersand, and Fibersand winners bidding to follow up on Kempton's Polytrack have got a terrible record. So I think he's in excellent form at the moment, looks well handicapped on his return to jumping, and having run well in this race before, Canadian Diamond could be the one to beat.
Canadian Diamond then for Andrew in the 4:10 at Ludlow, and we finish off at Kempton Park in their 7:45. A good little conditions race coming up there over 2 miles, only five of them in the lineup, and you probably could state a case for each one of them here.
Well,
so
this is quite a bizarre race, because if you just looked at the form of the runners and then were asked to guess what distance is this race over, you'd probably not come up with 2 miles, because you look at Vettori Rules for Gay Calloway, made his British debut over 9.5 furlongs at Wolverhampton last time, staying on well to finish a close fifth. And Winterlude has been running over a mile and a half, actually won over a mile and a quarter at Lingfield last month. So the step up to 2 miles wouldn't be an obvious one, obvious move for that particular one. Sandra Botticelli has been running over this sort of trip, but not particularly well. First Mohican's got some good speed figures to his name. He was second at Newcastle last time over this 2 mile trip, but he tends to come late and needs a decent pace. I mean, go back a few months and he was second in the Cesarewitch in a field of 33 over 2 miles, 2 furlongs at Newmarket, coming late again. So I'm trying to find something that is a proven stay and is likely to be up with the pace. And I've come down on the side of Intense Tango here for Carl Burke. Actually ran over hurdles last time at Doncaster, finishing fourth behind Vroom Vroom Mag. But does tend to race up with the pace when running on the flat. And you go back to September, made all in a field of 17 over a mile 6 on soft ground at Haydock. Hasn't yet won on the all-weather, but has had limited opportunities. Her running style, I should say, has not been ideal for the Tapita at Wolverhampton and Newcastle on her last two all-weather visits, and she's running at Kempton for the first time. So I think Intense Tango, in it, what's likely to be a very tactical affair, can perhaps make all the running here.
Okay. Is this her first try on Polytrack then?
She's raced at Lingfield before. Wow. She finished, if we go back to January of last year, she finished third to Arch Villain in a mile and a half race on Polytrack, which was described as outpaced and plugged on approaching final furlong, suggesting a mile and a half was far too short, and that's certainly been backed up by her subsequent runs.
Yep.
And she's also had one run at Chelmsford, beaten ahead over a mile and five.
Okay. Intense Tango then, the selection for Andrew in the 7:45 at Kempton. As usual, let's just have a little bit of a quick summary before you go then, Andrew, if you wouldn't mind just confirming your selections then for us for Wednesday.
Yes, indeed. And we've got Punchestown, first of all, the Quivego Mares Hurdle listed race. I'm going to take on the two likely market leaders with Whiteout and Rock on the Moor. I'd just side with Whiteout if I was forced to pick between the pair. The 3:45 at Doncaster, again, I had two against the field, Sam and Gary and Killala Key. I'll side with Killala Key, who's likely to be a bigger price. Then we're on to Ludlow for the 4:10, a competitive handicap hurdle. I'm going with the well-handicapped Canadian Diamond on a four-timer after three wins on the flat. And finally, the 7:45 at Kempton, a tricky two-mile conditions contest. It's likely to be very tactical. I think Intense Tango could be the way to go.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andrew. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Andrew Mount on Wednesday's racing then. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Alex Dunn, Tom Morley and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Doncaster, Ludlow and Lingfield provide the noon action, and it's Kempton Park in the evening. We'll also try and squeeze in some of the good stuff over at Punchestown as well, particularly that mare's race. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
Is live at William Hill now. If your selection wins a High Five race by five or more lengths, you'll get a 25% bonus on your winnings. And if you back the runner-up and it's beaten five or more lengths, you'll get your money back as a free bet. The offer applies to races with six or more runners at all National Hunt meetings on a Friday and Saturday. All National Hunt races shown live on terrestrial TV and selected meetings during the rest of the week. High Five from William Hill. Terms and conditions apply. Visit williamhill.com or the William Hill app for more details.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.